Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
This morning, we want to start a new series called Q&A and questions and answers. And what I want to do is I want to try to take some of the questions that I get asked the most, and I want to try to answer them in a biblical way. Because what happens to us a lot of times is we hear something from our past or something somebody said, like we listen to a preacher or we listen to a denomination or we listen to a church on TV, and they say something and it sounds appealing to us, and so then we buy into it, and then all of a sudden we hear somebody else say something that's different from that, and then we're confused, right? And so we walk in this confusion sometimes. And so what we want to do today, and we don't claim to know everything, we don't claim to be the best, we just claim to try our very best to grab our answers out of the Word of God. So that's what we're going to attempt to do today. I hope you join me in this journey to look through the Word of God. There's a group in the Bible, the book of Acts, called the Bereans, and they were a people group. And one of the things that set the Bereans apart from everybody else was that the Bereans would not take what the disciples said for granted. They researched it in the Scriptures, and the Bible says they were honored for it. And so, in other words, what I don't want you to do today is just take everything I say as gospel. I want you to be willing to go home and research it for yourself. Make sure what I'm saying is right. Because I think that's how we grow in our Christian walk. So today, I want to start off with this one big question that I get asked a lot, and that is, can I lose my salvation? Can I lose my salvation? Now, there are different denominations, different churches that have different views of salvation and the topic of salvation, and some view that, yes, you can lose your salvation. Some say you cannot lose your salvation, that your salvation is eternal. And here's what I want to do today. Today I want to kind of focus on some of the wording, and I want to focus on some of the extremism of both sides. And I want to just do this. Whichever side you fall on, and there's some people in the room, you fall on the, hey, you can never lose your salvation. Some people fall on, you can lose your salvation. And then other people are in the middle, and you just don't care. You're just happy to be here. You're the people I really like. So we have these different sides, but no matter what side you're on today, can I just say that we're all wrong? Can we just all be wrong for a minute? And then that way, if you know you're wrong, then you strive to be right. But if you think you're right, then you don't care what anybody else says, because you're already right. See, I'm married to a woman whose last name was Guy. And if you don't know the Guy family, they are always right. So they approach life from this aspect of, I'm right, you're wrong, prove me that I'm wrong. And then whenever you do prove them wrong, they still say you're wrong. Right. Me and Jesse, we can't win. We're married to sisters. We're in trouble. See? I'm telling you, I got a tough life. So I learned very quickly, always approach life like I'm wrong, and then I can figure out how to be right. When I was younger, it, through no fault of my church, I came up in a good church. I came up with good Bible teaching. But for whatever reason, my life, my mind, I gravitated towards the idea of losing your salvation. And the problem with that is, and if you've got notes today, I'm going to try real hard to stay with your notes, but I'm going to be honest, it's going to be tough, okay? So if you got your notes, you might find some of these answers in there. The problem with this idea of losing your salvation is this. Think about things that you can lose, right? Let's think about it for a second. What are some things that you can lose? You can lose a tooth, right? Get a tooth knocked out, you pull a tooth. You can lose your keys. Happens to me twice a week. Right? You can lose your cell phone. You got to do find my phone and look for it. You can lose a job. Right? And here's the problem with losing things is a lot of times whenever you lose something, it comes back on you as your responsibility, or it's just something that slips through your fingers. I was with my son the other day. We were playing pickleball. Have you ever played anybody know what pickleball is? If you don't know what pickleball is, it's this new sport that's out. So Gabriel and I get done playing pickleball, we go outside, and I've got my cell phone, right? And I get out my cell phone, I get out my keys, and what happens? I start dropping my cell phone. Have you ever had that moment where you're dropping your cell phone, and then you look like a juggler, and you're like, boom, 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 and it's all slow motion, and somehow you're keeping it going, and then it still slips out of your fingers, and then you think you can use what? Your foot, right? Like, my foot's going to magically kick it right back up to me. I'm not a soccer player. And so, boom, 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 foot kick over my head, hits the ground, destroys the phone. It didn't really. I got a good case. But it sounds cooler if it did. We view salvation like that. I did when I was younger. When I was younger, I thought any little moment, I'm going to lose my salvation. At any little moment, it's going to slip through my fingers, and there's nothing I can do, that God is constantly ready to destroy me. That's what I thought. I thought that every little thing I did wrong, I was going to hell. And let me tell you what happens whenever you buy into lose your salvation. Whenever you buy into that fully, what happens is you begin to serve God out of fear, not out of love. You also begin to only do works. Salvation becomes dependent on me doing more good things to earn my way into heaven. But the problem is, the Bible says that we cannot earn our way into heaven, that salvation is only by faith in the grace of God, that nothing you do can earn your way into eternity with Christ. So we've got this mentality, sometimes I did, that I'm constantly ready to lose my salvation. So every time the preacher got up and gave an altar call, guess what? I'm responding. I need to get saved. You just got saved at the morning service. Yeah, but I got to get saved again because I thought some bad thoughts between the morning service and the night service. I got to get saved again. And that was my mentality. Now, this sounds like a 5-year-old mentality. Guess what? That's when I got it. But I kept it. I kept it into my teenage years. I kept it into my early 20s. Because that's just how it was ingrained in me, that every little moment God was ready to crush me. And the weird thing is I knew God wasn't like that, but I still lived my life that way. One night, probably 1997, Friday night, I decided to go out with some kids in my youth group, and we went to a bar. Now, we didn't go to a bar. We went outside the bar to witness to the people waiting to get into the bar, right? And so this is the first time my world collides with this other mentality, and it's not eternal salvation, because I'm going to tell you something. Salvation can be eternal, right? You don't get saved and it has an expiration date on it. At least I hope not. That wouldn't make any sense, right? The Bible says that whenever you believe in Jesus Christ, that you have eternal life, right? So it's not that. That's not the issue we're dealing with. The issue is this idea of once saved, always saved. So we've got lose salvation. We've got once saved, always saved. And here's the extreme part of that. We go to this bar. We're witnessing to people at this bar. There's this young lady that we're witnessing to, not much older than I was. She is drunk out of her mind, right? Like, she is just stammering around, just running into people, hitting folks, kissing everybody. You know, as a teenager, that's why you want to go witness to people. So, just kidding, that was terrible. And so we went out there, and so this drunk girl is just standing around, and I start talking to her about Jesus, and here's what she says. She says, "I am a Christian." And I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, the Bible says that no drunkard enters the kingdom of heaven, so I'm wondering what is going on here. You know what I mean? Like, you are way past the drunkard part. Like, you would beyond that, right? You're almost passed out. And so I'm talking to her about it, and she goes, "You don't understand. I got baptized when I was 12. And I started thinking, wait, but I think every time I think a bad thought, I'm going to hell. And this girl thinks that because she was baptized when she was 12, she can do whatever she wants with the rest of her life, and everything's okay. Can you see the two extremes? Can you see how neither one of them can be right? I can because I started noticing it can't be right that someone can do whatever they want to do and still go to heaven. And it can't be right that no matter what I do, I can't go to heaven. Something's got to give here. And so whenever you live in this mindset of once saved, always saved, here's what you do to salvation. You create salvation as an event in your life that doesn't really matter. It carries no weight. It is just an event. That's the same thing as saying that the difference between a wedding and a marriage, right? There's a huge difference. Harrison and Aaron just got married. They had a wedding, right? They had a wedding. But that wedding does not define everything that has happened since that point. Right? The wedding is a one-time event, but marriage is a lifetime relationship. And we, whenever we think that it's once saved, always saved, then we say that salvation is a one-time event, now it doesn't matter anymore. It carries no weight to it. We also begin to get into this comfort zone. And have you ever heard the idea of comfort breeds contempt, right? Familiarity breeds contempt. In other words, when I become so comfortable with somebody that I don't respect that person anymore. And that's the other thing that breeds. So the idea of losing my salvation makes me serve God out of fear and works. But the idea of once saved, always saved makes salvation an event, not a lifestyle. And it makes me more so comfortable with God that I have no respect for His commandments. I have no respect for the life that He's given me. So how do we balance these two things? Let me give you just a couple of quick thoughts, and then I've got some verses that I want to share with you today. One of the things you need to know, I already said it, was salvation is eternal. So if you're in your notes, salvation is eternal. I do believe that it's a relationship that lasts forever. There's no expiration date. There's no time limit on it, right? Here's the other thing you need to know, though. Salvation is a relationship, not an event. It is a relationship. We view salvation as something that is done, but really, you could rename it and say it's a relationship. We throw the word salvation out there so often that most people don't even understand it. Even Christians don't understand what they're talking about. But if you throw the word relationship out there, that means more. It makes sense. Because most of us have relationships with somebody. I hope you do. You should have a relationship with somebody. So you got this relationship, not an event. Here's the other thing you need to know, that salvation is a choice. Now, this is key for the rest of the message. Salvation is a choice. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to put it on the screen if you don't have your Bible. Verses 19 and 20. Listen to what God says here. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. What did He say to do? Choose life. He said choose. He said, listen, I'm giving you an option today. It is your choice. God has given you free will. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be saved. You don't have to live for God. He gives you the option. I think it's a bad plan, right? Like if I were God, I would just make everybody love me. It would be easier. There would be no problems. There would be no death. There would be no war. But instead, God, in His infinite wisdom, says, I want to give everybody a free choice because I don't want anybody loving me as a robot. I want them to love me because they want to love me. He's just a good God. And then look at what it says next. Verse 20. Loving the Lord your God. This is all relationship. Listen. Loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him. Everybody say, hold fast. For He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. There is one verse I just want to quickly throw in that I forgot earlier when I was talking about losing your salvation. 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. I just want to throw that out there for anybody that says that about living this relationship with Christ out of fear. It's not true. You can't do it. You can't do it because that's not real love. Here's what I want you to look at though real quick. In this relationship called salvation, it's like a marriage. God says you got to choose. And whenever you choose, then you got to live the life. It's like a marriage. And here's the thing. Whenever I'm married, my wife, stand up, babe, so everybody knows who you are. Turn around, they can't see you. They saw the back of your head. I like to embarrass her every so often. She's really good looking, so I like that. I like to see her. And did she do a good job singing today? She did. Am I done now? I'm only talking big because after church, we go our separate ways. She's got to go to one party, I got to go to another, and so I can talk real big right now. Hopefully she'll forget by the time we get home. Here's the thing. Whenever I married my wife, I entered into a covenant with her. It wasn't just about the one day. It was about a lifetime. I didn't tell her, hey, I'm entering into a covenant with you today, for today. I said, no, this is forever. This is forever. And my goal, my desire is for our relationship to be eternal. My desire, whenever I entered into covenant with her, I said, I do not have eyes for anyone else. I am only for you. That is my desire. But guess what? There have been times, this is going to sound terrible after saying that. Don't think what I'm about to say. There have been times when I've messed up in our relationship. Not in an affair sort of way. Just where I've made mistakes. As had she, even though she won't tell you that. We've both made mistakes in our relationship, but it did not end the covenant. The covenant was still there. The marriage was still there. Did we make mistakes? Sure, we made mistakes. Did we have to apologize? Of course we did. And let me tell you something. It's not good to make mistakes. I'm not telling you to go out and make mistakes. But whenever you do make a mistake and you're called on the mistake and you work on the mistake, then all of a sudden you grow from the mistake and you love each other more. I tell her all the time, I love you way more today than I did when we got married. I love you way more. Why? Because I've learned how to love her. I've learned the things that she likes and the things that she doesn't like. I have discovered how to be a good husband, how to serve, how to give, right? And so the same is true with your salvation. The longer you're in your salvation, are you going to make mistakes? Of course you are. But do those mistakes end the covenant? No, they do not. But it brings you to this place of, uh-oh, I should not have done that. I've got to grow. I've got to change. I've got to evolve in my love for God. And we begin to learn what God likes, what He doesn't like. I want you to think about this too. That's one side. So I sound very pro once saved, always saved. I'm not. I'm not pro either one of them. I'm pro salvation, right? So here's the other side of it though. Yes, I'm in covenant with her. And yes, I can make mistakes and she will forgive me. And she can make mistakes and I will forgive her. What if though she were to cheat on me? Now what happens? If my wife cheats on me, and listen, I'm not saying there's different levels to sin. There's not. But there are different levels of mistakes as far as relationship are concerned, right? So what if my wife just slips up and, I don't even want to think about my wife doing that. What if I just slip up, right? What if I just slip up? I have an accident. I have a momentary insanity where I do something I should not do that really does hurt that covenant. But I do it, but I come back and I say, I'm so sorry. I've made the worst mistake. This is terrible. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Now, my wife told me when we got married, I was already on 2 strikes. So one more strike, I'm out. But let's say my wife is more merciful than that. I go back to my wife. I say, please forgive me. Have mercy. She can forgive me. Why? Because it was this one time mess up. I did this bad, terrible thing. And I'm using that as an example to show you how big of a sin we can imagine and what God does. And she brings me right back into the relationship. Do things need to change in my life? Of course I do. But she brings me right back in. But what if I choose instead to completely walk away? See, I had a friend when I was growing up. He was in high school. And his dad didn't just cheat on his mom. His dad told his mom, I'm done. I'm going to go live with this woman. I'm starting a new family. You guys are no longer with me. I'm out. And he completely broke the covenant, walked away, washed his hands of his own family, and began a whole new family with someone else. Now let's relate that back to salvation. Is it possible to lose your salvation? No, it's not possible to lose it. Drop my phone. Is it possible to walk away from a relationship? Yes. It's impossible. It is possible for you to choose. Why? Because salvation is a choice. Salvation is a choice. If you choose to enter it, you can choose to walk away from it. Now, salvation is not based on your works. You can't earn it, so therefore you can't lose it. So listen to the wording we're using. I can choose to walk away. But here's the thing. Choosing to walk away is way extreme. It's not like I thought as a child when I thought every time I sinned I was going to hell. That's making a mistake. It is choosing to break, to sever, to remove myself from a relationship with God. Now you may say, but Jesus never said that. Well, you would be saying that wrong. John 15. Let's look at John 15. This is the main thought here today. John 15, verses 1 through 11. Jesus says this, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. In other words, He's the one that cleans up the vine, right? Jesus, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Where is the branch? The branch is in Him. Now, what people will say that once saved, always saved, what they're going to tell you is this. They're going to say, hey, man, if they're not saved, if they're not serving God, it's that they never were truly saved. That's a great argument. The problem is nobody knows that. Like, how can you determine that? How can you know it? Jesus says this, there are branches that are in me that aren't producing fruit, and God cuts them out. Now, that sounds harsh, so let's keep going. It gets a little bit easier. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified. How? That you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. I'm going to tell you something. I wish I would have read that as a teenager and understood that he's saying these things that I could have joy, because my salvation was not very joyful. My salvation was scary. My salvation was always in fear and worry. But when I read this, he says, it can be joyful. It can be fun. It can be good, right? So let me just quickly give you a couple of things that I learned from that verse. Number one is I must abide. What is salvation? Salvation is abiding in Christ. That word abide there means to remain or to maintain fellowship or relationship. I want to maintain my relationship with Jesus Christ. It does not mean a one-time event. It means maintenance over time. It doesn't say anything about works. It doesn't say anything about witnessing. It doesn't say anything about, you know, how many times I've raised my hands in church or even go to church. It says, how am I maintaining my relationship with Jesus Christ? So the question at the end of the day is going to be, are we maintaining a relationship with Jesus Christ, or do we think salvation is a one-time event? How do I maintain? He says, remain in me. That's relationship. He says, remain in my word, right? So I need to what? I need to get into the word of God, and I need to get the word of God in me. Why? Because that way I understand. Because then he says, remain in my love. He says something about, if you obey my commandments and you love one another. These are all things that we should be constantly doing and having going on in our life. The more I love and am loved, the more secure my salvation feels. I think a lot of times the problem is we don't feel, if you come from my background, we don't feel like we're very secure in our salvation. And we don't feel that way because we don't understand that we're loved. We don't understand that we're loved. And we don't know how to love back. Right? But the more I love God, and the more I receive His love, the more secure I feel in my salvation. When I was younger, I was scared of hell. Today, I don't think about hell. Why? Because it's not an option for me. It's not that I'm prideful. It's not that I think I'm better than anybody else. It's just not the direction I'm headed. I don't think about divorce. Why? Because my goal is not to get away from her. My goal is to get as close to her as possible. So therefore, divorce doesn't even come into the equation because I'm constantly trying to get closer to her. I want to abide. But Jesus says, if you don't abide in me, then you're thrown away. The book of Hebrews speaks a lot about people stepping away from relationship. As a matter of fact, just about every New Testament author talks about, can I step away from a relationship with God? And every one of them say yes. Even Christ talks about it on more than one occasion. But the book of Hebrews uses these words, and I like these words. Whoever the writer of Hebrews was, some people think it was Paul, some people don't. But it says this, it uses the words neglect, draw back, turn away from. Now in the church world, we use the word like backslide. I don't even know what exactly that means, right? Like we don't ever use that term in real life. But these terms are relationship terms. Neglect. If I neglect somebody, then I'm stepping away from my relationship with them. If I draw back, the Bible says a man isolates himself. If I draw back from her, then I'm turning away from that relationship. Or to turn away from. These are all relationship terms, and it goes back to that idea of cheating versus leaving. There is a big difference in the two. The second thing that I learned from that passage is that we must bear fruit. The Bible says that by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. The idea of bearing fruit is not about works. It's about what's coming out of your life. Right? It's about what's coming out of your life. And so this whole idea of once saved, always saved, or where in that scenario, it says I can get saved in the event, but then it doesn't matter what I do with my life. Here's the problem. What fruit is being produced from your life? What fruit was being produced by that young lady at the bar? Didn't seem like something from the Holy Spirit to me. Right? So what fruit is being produced from my life? It's not about my works, though. And that's where the lose my salvation people get a little bit crazy, is they start thinking it's all about my works. No, it's not about works either. It's about what comes out of your heart. Jesus said this, good fruit comes out of the heart of the man. He said, you'll know a tree by its fruit. If you look at a tree and it's producing apples, what kind of tree is it? It's not a banana tree, right? It's an apple tree. Why? Because it's producing good fruit. My dad had a stepfather. And my stepfather was like a lot of people in the Bible Belt. He went to church. He might have read his Bible, I don't know. But he was faithful in church and talked a good game. You know, talked about God. Talked about his relationship. But here's the thing. He was a racist. He was white, and he did not like blacks. But he was a Christian. Can those two things even belong together? The Bible says this. It says, if you say you love me, but you hate your brother, then you're a liar. Right? You're a liar. You don't love God. You don't have a relationship with God. So as a racist, he could not truly be a Christian, although he talked a good game. But here's what happened. One night, not long before he died, he goes to church. And my dad was there, my mom was there, my grandmother was there. They were all at church. And that night, something happened in that service. And my grandfather decided, I have to give everything I've got to Jesus. Now, he had already had the salvation experience. But I'm telling you, the man wasn't saved. If you're a racist, you can't be. He had the salvation experience. But on that night, he gave everything he had to God. And my dad said he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And from that point forward, racism was broken in his life. And he loved people of all colors, all, you know, backgrounds. And my dad said it was noticeable. It was, you could just tell, like all of a sudden in one night, this chain that had been wrapped around my grandfather for probably his whole life was absolutely broken, and he was free. And then he died not long after that. So was my grandfather saved before? I don't think so. Why? Because the fruit wasn't being produced. He was producing bad fruit. It wasn't something that was a mistake, right? He didn't slip up and say something bad. It was a lifestyle of bad fruit. It was a choice. But whenever it was broken in his life, everything changed. Everything changed. He began to produce good fruit. Here's the other thing that I learned from that passage, and then I'm going to give you my final thoughts. But just one other thing I learned from that passage is the idea of being pruned. It says that every branch that produces good fruit has to be pruned so that it can produce more fruit. Here's the thing. Your sin does not break your covenant. Your sin hinders your growth. Let me say that again. Your sin does not break your covenant with God, but your sin does hinder your growth. What does that mean? That means that I'm serving God, but I slip up and I, say a cuss word, or I, punch somebody out of anger, or whatever the case may be. Whatever sin you want to say that I commit, right? That sin doesn't make God say, oh, I hate you, you're gone. God still loves me. He says, man, you messed up. And then I have to have that area of my life pruned so that I can now produce more fruit, because that is going to stop what God wants to do. Remember, sin doesn't keep you from being saved. Once you're saved, until you choose to walk away from that. And there's a huge difference. And I hope everybody can understand that today. Here's what we got to do with that. The idea of pruning is this: reveal and repent. Reveal the problem. Repent. Turn away from it. Now listen, repentance isn't something you do just one time. Repentance is something you do every day. Every day. When I go into prayer, here's what happens. I go to pray and I start seeing things in my own life that I don't like and that I know God doesn't like. So what do? God, I repent. Man, I'm just revealing this. I want to show you what I've got. I'm not hiding anything from you. I got to repent. I got to change this area of my life. It doesn't mean I got to get saved all over again, right? Let me give you just my last few kind of practical thoughts for you today. How do we balance all this? How do we get into this and figure out life? Number one, you choose relationship daily. You choose relationship daily. You make the choice that my relationship with God is more important than my sin. It's more important than anything else. And today I choose a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that happens every single day. In choosing that relationship, you choose to live out that relationship. I can tell people I'm married to my wife. I can wear a ring on my finger, but if I never speak to her, I never love on her, I never have anything to do with her, then am I really in relationship with her? No. I have to choose relationship with her. Every day when we wake up, I make the choice to love her that day. It's a choice. She doesn't make me love her, although I'm a little bit scared of her sometimes. She doesn't make me love her. I choose to love her. Number two, you got to keep your feet clean. You got to keep your feet clean. Now, right now, some of you guys are like, yeah, keep your feet clean. You don't even know what I'm about to say. John chapter 13, this is one of my favorite stories. This is one of those stories that changed my life. Because I used to think that I was always losing my salvation every time I sinned. And it changed my life when I read this story. John chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Listen, it says, Jesus is trying to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter does not like this idea. Peter says to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I don't wash you, you have no share with me. In other words, you can't abide with me if I don't wash your feet. Peter says, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. Like, Peter's like, give me a whole shower. Like, wash me, and Jesus, listen how Jesus says. Jesus said to him, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but it's completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. He's talking about Judas on that one. Poor old Judas, man. He really screwed up. Jesus looks at this disciple, says, I'm going to wash your feet. The disciple says, wash my whole body. Right? Jesus says, no, dummy. You already took a bath. The only part of you that's dirty is your feet, because you've been walking around on them all day. And as you walk through your day, you collect dirt, and you collect mud, and you step in things that smell bad, and you got it on your feet. So here's what I want to do for you. I'm not going to get you saved all over again. I'm just going to wash your feet. I'm just going to wash your feet. What does that mean? That means that daily repentance. It means keeping yourself accountable. Have you ever stepped in something and you didn't know you stepped in it? And then you walk into a room and everybody's like, ooh, something doesn't smell right. And they all start looking at you funny. right? Sometimes that's why we need accountability. That's why small groups are important. That's why having an accountability partner, somebody that you can share life with, is important. I've got people in my life that I go to and I say, hey, listen, smell my feet, right? That sounds weird. I don't really say that. I say, smell my feet. Is something stinky? Is something dirty? Is there anything in my life that maybe I'm not noticing, but I need to repent of? I don't need to get saved all over again. I just need to get some cleansing. I need to get some forgiveness for something in my life. It's a daily accountability that happens in us. The third thing that we need to do is we need to stop judging other people and start discipling other people. I think sometimes when you grow up one way, let's say my way, then when you grow up that way, you begin to judge everybody else. Well, that person can't be saved. Why? Because they're, you know, oh, they drank a beer. They can't be saved. They're going to hell. And I only say that because I don't drink, right? But if I did drink, and then I looked at that person that was drinking, I'd be, oh, they're good. But, oh, that person doing drugs, they can't go to heaven. They're going to hell right now. Like, they're going to hell. Right? So we start judging everybody very quickly. Stop judging people. Stop judging people and start discipling people. See, Jesus said this. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. He never said, go make converts. He never once said, go get people saved. Why? Because even Jesus understood it's not a one-time event. And if the more you think it's a one-time event, the more you just, oh, if, as long as I get somebody to raise their hand at the end of the service and I say a little prayer for them, then we're good. That person's saved. No, that person made a commitment, and now they need some help to walk it out. Marriages end all the time. Why do marriages end all the time? Because they don't have help to walk out through their issues. And what started off as a little mud on the feet ended up being a whole body of mess because they weren't willing to have somebody help them walk it out. Or there was no one there to help them walk it out. Again, that takes us back to why we want to do small groups here. In the fall, we'll start them. But why do we do small groups? Why do we want to do small groups? Because we need people that are going to help disciple us. And we need to be helping disciple other people. We need to help people walk this thing out. Help them get their feet clean. The other thing in that, you need to always assume the best. I put that in my notes. I hate it whenever people always assume the worst. Assume the best. Assume the best. Assume that everybody can be restored. Assume that everybody can give their hearts to Christ. Assume that everybody can love Jesus with their whole heart. And then work from that angle. It's a lot easier. I wasn't going to say this last part. It wasn't in my notes, but this is how I want to close today. Because there may be some of you that sit back and you're saying, you know, I feel like I might have walked away from our relationship with God. Now, let me tell you something. You know if you have or you haven't. If you're saying, oh, Gabriel, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I've walked away. You probably haven't, right? Like, if you're worried about it, chances are you just need to wash some stuff off your feet. But you know if you've made the choice to live for yourself or to live for God. Like, you know that. You know if you've made the choice to turn away from God, to be unfaithful to God. You would know that, right? And we think that's the end of the story. But I want to show you how big God's love is. So there's a story in the book of Hosea. There's this guy named Hosea. He's a prophet. And God has the worst ideas of sermon illustrations ever. At one point, he told one prophet, cut off the back of your pants and show everybody your hind end. Worst. He told one prophet, lay on your side for like 3 years. Terrible. This one is the worst. He told the preacher, go marry a prostitute. I'm sure the preacher's like, huh? What'd you say now? You know, like, I don't know if I heard that one right. So the preacher goes down to the red light district and he finds him a prostitute. Her name is Gomer. That's probably why she was a prostitute. Nobody been married. Like, I don't know about marrying somebody named Gomer, you know. It's terrible. Poor old Gomer. She had a kid named Goober. No, I'm just kidding. So Hosea goes and he gets Gomer. He says, Gomer, I want to marry you. Gomer's probably thinking, nobody has ever wanted to marry me. They've only wanted to use me. Of course I'll marry you. I get my own house. I get a steady income. I get protection, security. So he brings Gomer into his home. They have kids together. They're building a life together. And I'm sure that Hosea is thinking, man, this sermon illustration was really bad at first, but it's working out. But at some point, Gomer remembers her old lifestyle. And Gomer says, I know I've got relationship with you. I know I've got covenant with you. But I really like that. And she makes the choice to separate herself from Hosea and walk back to the red light district and go right back into prostitution, go right back into her old lifestyle and totally reject Hosea as her husband. I'm sure Hosea's thinking, man, this is awful. Like, what do I do now? Here's what the Lord said to Hosea. In Hosea chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Then the Lord said to me, Go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. And it says, Hosea speaking, So I went and I bought her back. I paid a price to buy back what was already mine. I bought her back. If you've turned away from your relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you are bought at a price. Jesus paid with His own blood for you. He's willing to buy you back today. And you may think, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know how far I've gone. The Bible says that there's a young man that left his father, did all kinds of terrible things. And when the young man came back to his father, the father said, My son was dead, and now he's alive. In other words, our relationship was dead, broken, gone. He stepped away from the relationship. He killed the relationship, but now he's back. Let's celebrate. My boy's alive. That's how much God loves you today. No matter how far you go, no matter how far you turn away from Him, He's always willing to bring you back. All you got to do is accept it. All you got to do is accept it. Why don't you close your eyes with me this morning? Nobody looking around. There's nothing spiritual about this part, except I want you to focus on you and what God might be speaking to your heart. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things that God might be speaking to your heart today. He might be talking to you about your doctrine, your past, your belief system. He might be telling you that, hey, you've thought that you can lose your salvation so flippantly and so easily, and you're wrong. And you've been living in fear, and you've been living in judgment of other people, but you're wrong and you need to change. Maybe he's speaking to you today and he's saying, you've thought that salvation was just a one-time event and now you can live your life however you want to and do whatever you want to, but you're wrong too. It's a relationship that grows and develops. Or maybe he's speaking to you today and he's saying, you've stepped away from me. You've left my relationship. You've left my love. You've left my covering. You've walked out of the house and you've decided to be with another. But I still love you. And I'm still waiting on you to come home. Maybe today you need to start that relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you today, and you need to start that relationship, you need to come back home to Him. Or maybe you're just coming home for the first time to receive His love. If that's you this morning, I want you just to slip your hand up. You can put it right back down. Nobody's looking around except for me, so I know who to pray with today. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Let's all say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept your love and your invitation to come home. I want to start my relationship with you. I don't want to hold anything back. I want to give you everything that I've got. Fill me today with your Spirit so that you can abide in me and I can abide in you. Send me people that will help me to walk out my relationship. In Jesus' name. Now for the rest of us, I want you to just put your hand over your heart. And on your own, I'm going to pray, but I want you to pray on your own because I feel like there may be some of us today that need to repent. Maybe we need to repent of old lifestyle. We need to repent of old mindset. Maybe you're looking back and you're thinking of people you've judged or people you've condemned. Maybe you're looking back and you're saying, God, I've treated salvation like an event and not like a relationship, and I want to love you with all my heart. I want you to begin to pray that prayer this morning. God, I just pray right now for every one of us in this room. I pray for myself, God, that so often we treat salvation like an event, like a one-time thing that doesn't mean anything. But God, today we want to devote our lives to you. We want to have a relationship with you, not an event with you. And God, I pray for some of us, God, that were raised in such a way that we were always so scared of losing our salvation. I pray today that you would show us the security found in your love and in your mercy. God, I pray that we could see that our salvation is not something to be lost and found. But God, it's a relationship that we walk in every single day. Forgive us if we've judged others. And help us to make disciples, not converts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.